You're a doctor in the house.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Doctor.
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 And doctor.
It's time for Advanced Medicine Monday with Dr. Rashid Batar.
I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer.
I'm a doctor, not a mechanic.
I'm a doctor, not a coal miner.
No bill's gonna kill my head. I gotta...
All right, Dr. Batar. So, I know you're only here for an hour.
Is in.
The doctors, and I couldn't wait because I was like, oh, God, I get it right to this. Because hour one, there was an opening segment that I almost want your insight into because it was just so absurd. And I kind of get what they were trying to do. But there was a drug study out of Yale University published in the journal Science. And they said, you know what? We found that certain people are vulnerable to the toxic effects of these drugs that, you know, that shouldn't happen because they're microbiome. It's because they're microbiome. And so they were positing that the toxicity was not due to the drug, but due to the way the microbiome interacted with the drug. And so they're now thinking, well, how can we alter the microbiome so this drug can be used by everybody? I'm like, could there be any more wrongheaded thinking? I get what they're trying to do, but good Lord, the poison is not because of the microbiome. It's because of the drug. The drug was toxic to begin with.
Well, it goes back to that same explanation. Every time I see a fire, I see fire engines. Therefore, I conclude that fire engines cause fires.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you apply that problem, that thought process, it's problematic. I think it was Einstein that once said, interestingly enough, it was a quote where he said, you cannot solve a problem with the same mindset that created it. And this is one of the issues when you have a pharmaceutical company or a university that's sponsored by a pharmaceutical company doing a study. They have a mindset already, and then they're trying to create a solution, but the solution that they're trying to, the mindset from which they're coming to try to create the solution is the very mindset that created the problem in the first place. So you have to actually have an intention and a paradigm shift in thought process in order to come up with a solution that would work. But if it's the same thing that led to the problem, if it's the same approach that led to the problem in the first place, how are you going to create a solution from that?
Yes.
Follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
If you've got a fire and it's burning down the house and your approach is something about regulating the fire, that's the problem that created the fire in the first place. You can't think about regulating the fire. There should be no fire there at all. The regulation aspect is not applicable. The elimination or the cessation or the non-existence of the fire should be the focus. So,
well, and in the case of drugs being toxic by definition, and then blaming a certain subset of the population for having toxic effects of the drug manifest overtly, where they go, oh, darn it, man, they're not benefiting the way we want them to. Of course, the whole idea is not to address the reason why the symptom is there, but it to intoxicate the body so the symptom goes away. And of course, we know 10 other symptoms could arise in that context. And, you know, this goes to something you talk about. You know, we're not anti-whatever. We say we're not anti-vaccine. We're anti-stupidity. And I want to get into that because you mentioned a mathematical formula. But in order to ease into that, we're going to do it via the second question of the day. First one for Dr. Batar here.
Excuse me.
Robert, before.
I'd like to.
Oh, you want me to? You're going to interrupt the question of the day? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I just want to point out something that, you know, you touched on this. And I think it's important that our listeners understand this concept, because when we're talking about the symptom aspect, mm-hmm. See, that's the entire thing. They're talking about, oh, this drug causes this symptom, and so then they're going to create a drug that has less symptoms, or they're going to create a drug that's going to be counterproductive or counter to those symptoms to try to block those symptoms, or they're going to look at a drug that has different symptoms, or they're going to try to focus in on a drug that's not going to create any other side symptoms. The problem is you don't deal with the symptoms. You should be dealing with the causation. And so this comes back to that same issue that we were just talking about, that the mindset is incorrect. So you'll never come up with a solution because your focus is still on the symptom. Managing the symptom, improving the symptom, decreasing the symptom, preventing side effects of the symptom. It's still symptom-oriented, and that's where the problem lies.
Well, and that's why I say on a political level, for those that say they have a solution for the healthcare crisis, Medicare for all, like, are you an idiot? I mean, that's worse than stupid. Medicare for all, because you're endorsing and mandating the participation without exception and exemption, the third leading cause of death for everybody. Everybody gets it. No, not interested. Not interested. Again, with that, let's now. What? What?
And this is the thing, Robert. People don't know that. Yeah. See, they don't know that the third leading cause of death is medicine, pharmaceutical, doctors. It's iatrogenic. It's medical industry induced. People don't know that. Media doesn't cover that. They don't talk about that. It's focused on this drug and that drug, et cetera. Nobody talks about the third leading cause of death being iatrogenic.
Sure. And when Republicans, I think I'm picking only on the left, but when Republicans say, well, we want a free market for medicine, I'm like, really? Do you? Where are the homeopaths? Where are the herbalists? Where are the naturopaths? Where's everybody competing on equal footing? Not to pretend that they are something that they're not, but they are healers in their own right. They have their own area, and you get to throw your shingle out there, and the people get to decide what kind of quote-unquote medicine or non-medicine they want. Where are they on the Republican side doing that? I don't see it. I don't see it. So that's why.
Well, you're right. And even within the medical hierarchy, if a certain doctor, with all the credentials and all the licenses and everything, even if they've got all that, if they're stepping outside of the box and not paying homage to their agenda, they will be ostracized and they'll be treated even worse. They'll be actually minimized and demonized and criminalized. Why? Because they're not following that agenda. So it doesn't even matter whether a person is as a paraprofessional, or even if they are within that profession, they will punish you for stepping out of line. It's like you're all supposed to be cattle going in a certain line, and if one breaks the herd, it's going to be punished. It's going to be prodded with an electric probe, and if it's not going to work, then they're going to beat it, and if that doesn't work, they're going to take it to the slaughterhouse.
And what I say about the medical professionals that don't want any competition from within, much less without, I want to call him a wussy with a P. I do, because you don't have the confidence that you're so good at what you do that you need the government to stop the people from making other choices than you. Again, this is not a lot. It doesn't say a lot about what you believe in your abilities. You know, if you were like, oh no, we can't have that. Nobody can hang the shingle like that. That mean they wouldn't come to me. Well, they would still come to you if you were doing the job people wanted you to do. So I think freedom is lost in this equation, left and right.
I totally agree with you.
All right, let's go to the question of the day. I'm not even going to play the theme. I have 5 children, Yurt says. After the first one nearly died from an MMR vaccine, I educated myself, and this is the early 80s, he says, and none of my other children were ever immunized. Of course, I would correct that, vaccinated. And they are all healthy adults. Do you have proof that the children who are not vaccinated in Los Alamos schools are actually the children of scientists? Also, isn't 2.3% or whatever is stated an extremely low percentile of those who are not getting vaccinated? This implies 97.7% compliance, which is way above the norm. This would be fantastic reference I would love to use, but cannot do it with only the claim made. Now, back 4 years ago, Dr. Bitar, there was an article or report that there was a higher exemption rate among the children of scientists in the Los Alamos, Mexico school district. You know, these are the high-level research, nuclear research scientists. And this goes along with the claims that they've done in surveys to find that the more intelligent you are, the more likely you are to exempt your children from vaccination, partially or totally.
Yep. So it's not surprising to me at all, Robert. And if you actually look at the data that was collected at the vanvcd.org site, that should be maybe a question that we add to that, you know, or look at what the occupations of those parents are. But you know what? We know whether or not we can say about the intelligence or the professionals or the education of the parents. I can tell you that looking at the subgroup of patients that have been vaccinated versus non-vaccinated, and looking at where they hit on the peer group compared to as based upon observations of the parents themselves, how they hit with the rest of the peer group. We know what the data is. In fact, after we're done with the show, for everybody that's listening on Facebook, and anybody that's on YouTube too, if you want to tune into the Facebook, I will go through live on vanvcd.org, and we will analyze the data, because it's a constantly changing set of data points. It's dynamic because it's constantly coming in, so we can see exactly what's happening. But it is so overwhelming. It's not even to say that it's statistically significant is a misnomer. It is so grossly statistically significant. You don't have to run analysis to see whether it has any statistical significance or not. It is plain day. You're talking like 21%, or I'm sorry, 27% ahead of their peer groups compared to 1% ahead of their peer groups in the vaccinated group. So I don't know. I can't, obviously, the study that you're referencing, it's interesting to make that observation, but I have seen that most parents that I have talked to that come and bring their patients, their children to us as patients, they have definitely done their research, and they are definitely, and I've said this actually openly before, my mm-hmm. average patient is more intelligent than the average patient of the average doctor. They have to be, because they have to look beyond their nose. And
right.
certainly in the artistic realm, with the children that come to us, that our parents bring to us, they're more educated. They're more aware.
They have to engage in their own research, for one. So they have to be able to intelligently read and digest and assimilate information and act on it. But they also have to be willing to question authority, don't they? I mean, that's another aspect that doesn't necessarily require a high level of degrees necessarily, because a lot of times the degreed people are following the herd. But in some cases, they can see beyond it because they have the capacity to do so. Now, in that question of the day from Yurt was a 2.3% exemption rate reference there, which is, you know, basically means 97.7% compliance with the vaccine schedule. And this is what's also interesting about SB 277 in California and the efforts like in other states like Washington State now. They're claiming that the vaccine rates are going down because of, you know, Andrew Wakefield or Jenny McCarthy or, you know, any of that garbage. But the reality is the removal of philosophical and religious exemptions has not made compliance go up. It hasn't changed it in any significant way at all. And we've got the statistics to prove it now. So the whole claims that they have to remove exemptions, religious or otherwise, is completely bunk, as is much of their vaccine paradigm.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I'll just give a quick example of what happened recently on social media. So I didn't even know what Facebook was till I had 20,000 followers, and I don't have much more than that now, but it's been growing like mm-hmm. rapidly in the last month since I've gotten involved with doing, you know, in the last 2 months, maybe since we've been doing the streaming and such. And this Instagram thing that we started, I made a couple of posts. The videos were posted, the shorter version. And it was amazing, Robert, that some of the components, some of the people that came in said, you know, started attacking me and the lies that they were saying. So I made the point. I said, why don't you just read the stuff? And it came out to be the fact that they have no interest in asking the truth. And the vaccine aspect, specifically asking for references to studies. So we'll come back during after the break. And I'll tell you what happened with it.
All right, this is great. Super Don, we got Dr. Batar doing some social media, and it's creating some waves out there. We're loving it. Advanced Medicine continues here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. RobertScottBell.com, AdvancedMedicine.com.
Live around the world,
the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Each and every week at this time, we do Advanced Medicine with Dr. Rashid Batar, AdvancedMedicine.com. For those of you who are new, he actually is the author of the international best-selling book, The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away. And if you haven't gotten it, good Lord, what are you waiting for? Go get it. Anyway, written in many languages, by the way, as well. Dr. Batar, you were talking about your social media adventures, Facebook and Instagram, and you know, you since you found out you had loads of followers, you started engaging in it, and it's added a whole other element of communication. Right here on this show, you're streaming live to Facebook Live as well, and yet this brings out those that would attack you or me or both of us.
Well, it's interesting because I find that before I even see the comments, usually other people have already jumped in. But their agenda, it's so interesting that, you know, they'll accuse you of, you're the doctor that killed 3 patients or 4 patients with cancer and, you know, lost your license to practice medicine. And I'm like, do these people even know how to read? I mean, a basic cursory review would show that all that stuff is a lie. But they will, they have that agenda to just create a discourse among the people that are following that post or following that account or whatever the case may be. So, in fact, I realized it's the very first thing that when Rick Jaffe, who was my attorney for some time,
representing. We've spoken to Rick on this show a number of times over the years.
Right, he was actually the legal counsel too for the Answer Group, the course that I used to teach. What was interesting, though, Rick called me, and when Offit had put out this book, and he called me and he said, "So, what do you think of the book?" And I said, "What book?" And he goes, "Offit's new book," and I'm like, first, I couldn't even remember who Offit was, and then he reminded me. I was like, yeah, because I'd actually debated him in Italy. I was a keynote speaker, and he was a keynote speaker, and that's the one that I told you where before I was the second to the last speaker, and then he was the last speaker, and he basically started saying all these half-truths and showing my slides and trying to, I didn't have a ability to stand up and speak, because I was done with my lecture and I was getting so agitated, and I started standing up on stage, and one of the other doctors came running over, and then two more came, and they were trying to settle me down and calm me down. And before I could even say anything, because I wanted to, respond to, because this is one of their agendas. They will railroad you. They'll find somebody that doesn't have the information. They'll railroad them, just like what Cooper Anderson just did with Dan Burton on the news a couple of nights ago. I couldn't believe what he was doing. But anyway, it was interesting because a parent stood up and in Italian started cursing this doctor out because her child had been treated by an Italian physician who was following our protocol. That's why they invited us. And the child had gone from being in diapers and babbling at the age of like 9 and was now in regular school in 6 months or 7 months and was making progress, leaps and bounds, not communicating. And so she was crying and she was cursing him out. And then all I could hear was an interpreter saying, can we say that? Because they didn't even know how to translate the curse words that she was cursing at Offit. So that I remembered Offit from that, but I didn't remember the name until Rick mentioned it to me. And then I found out that Offit had put this book out. And what's interesting, he had a whole chapter on six people. Dr. Oz was one of them. Brzezinski was one of them. I was one of them. Anyway, I don't remember all the people. He had a whole chapter on me. So I'm thinking, wow, the guy wrote a whole... I felt pretty proud of myself. I was like, really? I warranted a whole chapter.
Yes.
And I certainly wouldn't even mention him in any of my books. But anyway, what's interesting is the social media approach that they have. Somebody said, show me one study that proves that vaccines are unsafe. I said, one study? How about 400? And then I sent them a link to a book review that was, I think it's called Miller's Critical Review of Published Vaccine Studies.
Right.
Basically about 400 different vaccines, 400 different studies discussing the safety issues and problems with vaccines. And his response, get the response, a YouTube link doesn't count.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, wow. So I actually posted on my social media parts that from this point onwards, if you prove that you're in the stupid category, if you make a stupid comment or evidence that you are not a real person, you will be blocked because we are anti-stupid. For anybody else, if you want to make a comment, that's fine. But I'm going to block you because there's no reason. If somebody says, show me one study, we show 400 studies, and they make a stupid comment like that, it's a troll. It's a paid troll.
Yes.
They have no agenda except to create problems and increase people's blood pressure. And we're just going to disengage. So anyway, I got a lot of claps to that post. And the anti-stupid comment, Robert, I don't know how much time we have, but I just want to tell everybody the most funniest thing that I've heard in probably the whole year so far. My son, Rahan, 14 years old, he's looking at the meme, and he's giving me tips on how to change it and everything. And of course, the click is, I'm not anti-vaccine, I'm just anti-stupid. And Rahan says, I'm not anti-stupid, I'm just anti-vaccine.
Oh, your son's great. Give him a big hug from us here and appreciate him so much. We're going to take a break and we'll be back. Those of you on YouTube will be chatting with you in a moment as well. We've got some stories about lead and arthritis, the link there, bone health and lead. And there's some studies on silver's oncolytic properties, too.
Say that masked man was.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Robert Scott Bell.
Here I come to save the day.
Bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Not to throw too many websites at you, but AskDrBatar.com is another one, and he's been putting video responses. I think the third one is already out. We'll talk about it. Also, upcoming events, we got the big webinar that's open to everybody, not just IADFW members that you get through AdvancedMedicine.com. For everybody, you got to sign up, though, to get in. And we have a big banner link for that as well in the upcoming events. And the videos, the 1, 2, and 3, remember it was that first thing that you just got on and you just laid loose and let it loose on social media about stupidity and stuff. And people really responded. Now you're doing video responses in addition to that.
Yeah, so the first one was actually on the immune response. The second one was on thimerosal facts. The third one was politics on thimerosal. This next one is we were trying to come up with what the title would be, and it was going to be Wake Up and Fight, and then I thought somebody's going to misconstrue that, so it's probably going to be labeled like Be Their Voice. So it's talking about it's up to us to be the voice of our future generation. And they're already all slayed out. In fact, I think almost all of them have been now produced. They just need the title components done to them. But there's going to be a total of 11. And the next, actually, I think it's numbers 5, 6, and 7 are footage that has never been seen before. So some of these videos have never been seen before. Actually, Robert, you're in one of them too, from when we were at Autism One Together in Chicago. So the purpose behind these videos is to have short sound bites, you know, anywhere from 4 to 9 minutes, 10 minutes. I think the longest one is 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And also show proof of what's possible. I want people to, one, understand what the problem is, two, understand that the counterpoint, we try to present the counterpoint, but the counterpoint is so absurd, it's hard to present the counterpoint. So it's done in a way, like the immune response, for example. Okay, fine, you want to stimulate the immune response. I get that. I appreciate that. I'm a person that totally 100% agrees in stimulating the immune response and training the immune response. But how do you train our immune response when the immune system isn't even mature yet? It's not even capable. It's like trying to train a newborn infant or a baby or a neonate. It's trying to train them to run a marathon. Well, they got to first learn how to run. And then before they can run, they got to walk. And before they can walk, they got to crawl. And before they can crawl, they got to be able to support their own weight. You're trying to get a baby to run a marathon and then trying to save that for baby safety? And then not only that, it's adding insult to injury. Now you're putting in things that are immunosuppressive. So if you're trying to stimulate the immune system, why would you have something that suppresses the immune system at the same time? Mm-hmm. It makes no sense. And then to say, well, we need adjuvants to stimulate the immune system that irritate the immune system to cause it to flare up. Then why are the substances toxic and cause things such as, oh, mental retardation based upon the material safety data sheets of the manufacturer? So it's that type of logic. It's hard to give a counterpoint or give credence to the opposite side. I try to give both sides, but there's no other side.
No.
It's just grounded in stupidity and lies. That's what it's grounded in. So
yes.
Anyway, it's just every time now, Robert, I see a child and I realize that I have failed. Every time I see a child that has autism, I feel that I've failed in the promise that I made to the Creator 19 years ago. Obviously, right. Turned 20. And it's it was on the show, actually. We talked about it. And then after the show, as I continued the live Facebook feed, I asked the question. And there was, I don't know, half a dozen people that said immediately. And then before that, we got off the feed, that we had 20, 25 people that said they wanted the information. They wanted the new program released, which is Autism Facts, or Autism Defined Facts on Autism. But this Autism Truth is a free series that's going to release a lot of information. And these are tidbits from the actual program. So people understand what it's about. And so that's what the plan is. And I'm hoping that's going to empower. My goal has always been to touch 100 million lives. But with autism, you know, if we just can touch 1 million people and let them know what the truth is and they're empowered with it, Robert, it changes everything. You know, that calculation that I told you about the number of children on the planet that have autism, well, based upon the CDC data of 1 out of 36 children extrapolated to the current world's population, looking at the pediatric population between 0 and 18 years of age, that's almost 49 million children on the planet. I was saying 44 million because I was basing it on 1 out of 40. But because of the CDC data, 1 out of 36, it's 49 million children on the planet.
Well, and remember, too, Dr. Bitar, about those stats, we're talking autism. What about all kinds of neurological deficits, imbalances, dysfunction that are milder than the autism official diagnosis? And you're talking hundreds of millions.
You're absolutely right, because the CDC data that was released in 2002 and the NHANES data said 1 out of 6 women of childbearing age had mercury toxicity. And then the American Academy of Pediatrics the same year came out and said that 1 out of 6 children being born in the United States had some type of a neurological deficit. So that's 1 out of 6. Not 1 out of 36 or 1 out of 40. 1 out of 6. Same correlation as the number of women that were considered to be mercury toxic. Yeah. So you're absolutely right. It's in the hundreds of millions.
Yeah, and metal toxicity can beget more metal toxicity. Not that the metal is necessarily bringing in the metal, although in fluoride's case, it could certainly increase the uptake of metals coming through the pipes, the water, the lead we've been talking about as well. And, you know, it's bad enough that we've got neurological diseases, but now skeletal disorders. There's an article published in International Journal of Clinical Rheumatology is saying they're finding lead's link to osteoarthritis. Now, again, lead, you can find lead in the bones, obviously. I don't know if that's a matter of weakening in it, but anything that's going to tax the excretory organs is going to make it more difficult for the body to do its normal metabolic processes, like, you know, processing normal waste that are pro-inflammatory, if not excreted, for instance. You start adding heavy metals into the mix, that's going to corrupt these systems, and then anything that's gone awry is going to be worse. So whether lead is now the cause of osteoarthritis, I don't think so, but it's a compounding factor for sure.
Absolutely, because each one of these components, they're not isolated in their effect. It's a dynamic process, and it's affecting everybody based upon their genetic predispositions and their biological individuality, and it actually cascades and expands and has many different implications. And it's a synergistic type of implication, too, just like we know that an LD1 of lead and an LD1 of mercury in the same 100 people is an LD100, meaning that enough lead to kill one out of 100 people and enough mercury to kill one out of 100 people, and you put it in the same 100 people, you'll kill all 100 people. So there's so many different aspects to this. So, yes, you're absolutely right. You can't necessarily say whether lead will cause osteoarthritis or cause this, that, but you know what? All these different things are problematic on their own, but when combined in conjunction, there's a synergistic exponential negative effect that they have. It's an inhibitory process. So, absolutely, it's something that you've got to be concerned about. It's kind of like a cockroach. You see one, there's a thousand behind the wall.
Right.
That's the thing.
Yeah, and you know, not to throw all metals under the bus, as we talk about, there's useful metals, and we've talked about silver. You've used it medically and clinically, as have I been lecturing on it for many years. And, you know, there's an article years ago that I wrote about that headline read, you know, silver damages gastrointestinal epithelial lining, cells lining the gut. And I thought, gosh, I've been using this to heal epithelial tissue externally and internally. There's something wrong. And, of course, mainstream media reporting on medical journal articles, it's always slanted. It's half truth, which is a whole lie. And it turned out that the active silver was eradicating epithelial cancer cells of the gastrointestinal tract. So that silver, the ions carried with it an ability to neutralize these cancer cells that don't have a defense mechanism like healthy mammalian cells. So, you know, intellectual integrity demands that if we're looking at all of these things, we have to look each on its own merits, each in combination with other things, and have the temerity to go forward and go, you know what, it's appropriate here, it's not appropriate here, this is how it's appropriate in this form, not this form. It takes more than just saying blanket statements.
You're right, Robert. And actually, it reminds me of when I was giving a lecture in South Africa in Johannesburg. Somebody asked me, well, Dr. Tarr, isn't there a thing such as balance? Because you could overdo anything. We were talking about water consumption. And isn't there such a thing as water consumption? And I said, yeah, it's called drowning. So, you know, is there something, can silver kill you? And Robert, you got to be truthful here. You know, silver can't kill you. If you have 20 pounds of silver that falls from, you know, 10
it's going to do some damage.
It can kill you.
Yes.
That's right. So, you got to be honest about this stuff. And you have to have intellectual integrity here and make sure that you tell people
right.
that silver can kill you. So, I think that...
Dr. Mattar, I got to break in for a moment because, you know, one of the most important or significant toxicological studies that made me comfortable in looking at silver as a possibility as I, you know, my focus as a homeopath was detoxifying metals from everybody, all kids too, right? Mercury and everything. So I looked at the studies. I'm like, you know what? The first sign of any elevated liver enzymes happened at 24,000 times the reference dose, according to EPA and WHO. So, yeah, silver can cause you harm, but by the time you get that much silver in you, it had either fallen on you from the sky, a big rock or a boulder, or you had been drowned in the water that carried it with it. So, again, it's unique in that realm, but I am honest and integrity-filled enough to acknowledge, yeah, there's a point where you don't take that much.
Well, yeah, you know, you can look at the amount of silver. Well, isn't it like the vampires get killed with a silver bullet? Isn't that what it is? If you have a silver round that hits you in the chest, yeah, that'll
yep.
also kill you. But,
exactly.
You know, we can be facetious about this, but yes, there's certain minerals, metals that have a very, very critical role in the body. For example, iron is essential for life, but iron in high doses will kill you.
Yes.
Selenium, extremely important for life, but in high doses will kill you. It's actually used as a poison and has been actually the feature of two different CSI cases on TV. Chromium can be also something that is essential for life, but in too high doses will act like a heavy metal as well. Copper, another example. So there's many different things such as these that are important for life, but when given out of the normal physiological dose and a higher dose over a sustained period of time will cause damage. And, you know, silver, even compared to copper, I think that silver, copper, selenium, I think copper and selenium are more toxic at high doses than silver is.
Yeah, that's true. Based on the toxicological studies, you could take more silver before you would have any adverse event measured in biochemistry or damage to tissue as to how they measure that. So, but I don't say that you need to take that much silver either. I always deal in micrograms, homeopathic doses, trying to be appropriate, or else, you know, what are we doing here? You know, we're trying to help people detoxify things they don't need too much of. If we need a substance, we want to get it in the right form at the right amount. And again, there's an art, there's a science, and the combination where they meet, I think, is real medicine as opposed to what it's become.
You're absolutely right, Robert. And this is something that hopefully people are hearing, the message that balance is the key. And when you're looking at natural substances, I mean, you're looking at what God designed, our body's ability to be able to handle those things at much higher doses is a much bigger variable there. There's a much bigger buffer there. Then when you're taking in something that's synthetic, man-made, a pharmaceutical, which is not designed to enhance pathways as natural substances, but rather inhibit or block pathways. So that's the basic inherent difference, enhancing pathways as opposed to blocking pathways. And natural substances, when they enhance pathways, the body will eliminate what it doesn't need.
Mm. Beautiful thing, this body that has been created by a creator, not the government, not a mad medical doctor, scientist, but... you know, where does creation originate? And that's a big part of advanced medicine as well, acknowledging spirit, spirituality. Dr. Bitar wrote about it in The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away, having that as a balance. And that's where medicine went wrong, when it abandoned spirit. All right, folks, more advanced medicine, one more segment to go. Links are up in the show notes at robertscottbell.com. Mental health conditions in children, next.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
In all my years of radio, I've never seen anything like this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. The information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
All right, the place for health, freedom, and healing liberty. How about, you know, healing sanity? Because there's a lot of insanity, and it doesn't relate to healing. It relates to disease causation, creation, and management. That's much of allopathic medicine. That's why what we do here is advanced medicine. And advancedmedicine.com, robertscottbell.com, all the links are up, including the online. It's going to be like considered a webinar, the one coming up at the 28th of February?
Yes, it's going to be a webinar. And you were correct, Robert, that it is open to everyone. It doesn't. They don't have to go through the IEDFW. I am hoping that it will be a very definitive webinar.
Well, it shall be. It's Autism Defined, Facts on Autism. The launch is February 28th, online webinar. Of course, the big Advanced Medicine Conference coming up May 25th and 26th in Los Angeles, Pasadena. That is Memorial Day weekend. You're going to plan to go out and have fun for that weekend. Hey, why not meet us in L.A.? And there are discounted tickets still available, and there are VIP tickets, and we've got links and how to get them right there in the show notes at robertscottbell.com. So go there. You won't be depressed. Unlike apparently one out of seven, every kids and teens in the U.S. are now being diagnosed with mental health conditions. Of course, having nothing to do with nutritional deficiency, heavy metal burdens that they're carrying. No, it's all evidence of a lack of Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, or Ritalin.
What, you said one out of seven?
Yes, they say one out of seven kids and teens in the U.S. has been diagnosed with a mental health condition, and they're complaining because only half of them are being treated.
And, of course, there's no correlation with those children having had vaccinations, no correlation with the dietary intake, mineral deficiencies, and all the other things that we know are associated with improper cognitive function due to either the habits that the child has or the parents, especially the mother, while carrying the baby. So we know that alcohol consumption, cigarette smoking will cause the fetal syndromes that will then cause maturation issues, developmental issues, all sorts of other problems. But what I find the most interesting is that when these violent crimes take place where, you know, 3, 4, 5 people, 10 people, 20 people get shot in a nightclub or, you know, whatever type of a situation that these random acts of violence are occurring in, the association with those people on these types of medications, these types of antidepressants and anxiolytics. Now, of course, some people would say, well, that's why they did it, because they had this problem. They needed to be on the drug. But my question would be, you know, these high school shootings, how many of these kids were put on these drugs and then that caused the alteration in their cognitive ability that led them to this type of problem? For example, we know that the drug Prozac is very, very closely related to, in fact, is almost identical to LSD. In fact, there was a book called Prozac. I think it was a book called
Prozac Panacea.
Yeah, Panacea or Pandora. That's right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If you look at the side effects of Prozac, in fact, probably about 20 years ago, it was taken off the market, or they were talking about taking it off the market because of what they called, quote, breakthrough suicide. That was a term that was used, breakthrough suicide. I've never heard that term before, but basically breakthrough suicide was defined as people that were on the drug but were still committing suicide. And so they called it breakthrough suicide. And that's why they were thinking about putting a hold on it or you know, changing the drug. It never did end up going on hold. But here's the thing. With Prozac being so intimately related to LSD, LSD is a hallucinogen. So if you go back and you look at the way that people that were on LSD were, is it LSD or is it PCP? Robert, to help me out. I can't remember now. Maybe I'm getting that confused.
Well, I mean, you've got PCP and the link to PMP, methylphenidate, and Ritalin, but there are hallucinogenic aspects to certainly some of these fluoxetines, or what do they call them, fluoride-based drugs, like, for instance, Prozac, selective serotonin reuptake inhibiting drugs.
So, for everybody that's listening, you see how I didn't know about these illegal drugs, but I turned it over to Robert, and he knew everything about them. So, but anyway, let's go.
You got 10 seconds, my friend. You better wrap it up.
So, basically, people were jumping off buildings. That was their mechanism of suicide. That's how LSD... people were killing themselves with LSD overdoses, and this is how Prozac was also causing people to die, by jumping off the buildings. That was a breakthrough suicide.
Right, and we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the antiviral drug category that includes Tamiflu, causing children to hallucinate, wake up in the middle of the night, climb out of second-story bedroom windows, and you know, cross traffic and get hit. Folks, there's a lot of things that can help you. Most of them are not approved by the Fear and Death Administration, but they are here on Advanced Medicine with Dr. Asha Bitar. Because why?
Because the power to heal is unequivocally yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
I didn't get